This morning's scripture was given to me about 4 weeks ago. Brian asked if I would preach, and I was searching for scripture, and it kept coming back to Psalm 23. And in the beginning, I was trying to duck it. I thought, no, Lord, that one has been preached on by so many times. What possibly can there be? What an arrogant so-and-so. What an arrogant so-and-so I was. What possibly could there be in Psalm 23? Well, listen, friends, and then listen to how the Lord sorted me out. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. A shepherd calls, guides, protects, returns. And Jesus said in John 10, 14, I am the good shepherd. And my sheep know my name, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, not in this pen. I must bring them also. They will learn my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Now, from way back when, Jesus is talking about us, the Gentiles, because at that time he was talking to the Jews. And he's saying, I have other sheep. They're not in this pen, but they will come to know me and know my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. And that day is coming, dear friends. Time is close. That's the day when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Psalm goes on to say, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me. He commands us in the Ten Commandments, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. In Psalm 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations in all the earth. Be still. The Lord spoke to me as on this particular verse, and somebody came to mind from this congregation. And I'm not going to go into that. But one of you has a word from the Lord today. Be still, and know that I am God. And then Ted brought somebody who's in need of prayer to me this morning. And again, Lord, you know who it is. Be still, and know that the Lord your God is with you. He leads me beside still waters, waters of life that are calm and safe and life-giving. In John 4, verse 14, Jesus said, Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. The water of life. Whoever drinks this water from me will never thirst. I'm eternally grateful for a minister in the Presbyterian Church called Reverend Kingsley Dale. He was a teacher. He told us that's his calling. I'm a teacher. And as a young, very young elder, I was on a retreat with him, and Kingsley said, "It is my ambition to teach you all how to draw from the well of Jesus Christ for yourself." And I'm eternally grateful that Kingsley's teaching was such that I feel that I can now do that, draw from the well of Jesus Christ. In the third verse, "He restores my soul." Do you believe in miracles? Amen? Do you believe that Jesus restores you each and every night? Do you lay down to sleep? He does, doesn't he? He restores us each and every night. Now, I'm sure I've told this story before, but I must tell it again. And it is the story of a lady called Mrs. Jones. In school that I went to near the Docklands of Liverpool, not long after the war, it was rough. It was rough. It was a boys' school. And Mrs. Jones used to play the piano. I use the word play in a very broad sense. It was an upright piano, and when she hit it, it was like a karate chop. She could make that thing plinkety-plonk. And every morning on a Monday, she would have the same hymn sung that's relevant to what we're getting at about "He Restores My Soul." And that hymn was, and she'd start off by saying, "Come along, boys." I don't know, this teachers have a way of, female teachers in those days had a way of saying it. "Come along, boys, let us sing new every morning." And we hated it. And yet, every morning when I get up at 5:30 and walk my Staffordshire Bull Terrier up the Green Meadow Lane, Mrs. Jones is with me in that frock of hers that was well worn and well worn out and well washed. "New every morning is your love, our waking and uprising proof, through sleep and darkness safely brought, restored to life and power of thought." And it goes on. And every morning, because of Mrs. Jones's persistence, I'm reminded that new every morning, we're restored once again to life. "He leads me. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." I was confused by the part "for his name's sake." I thought, if he leads me in paths of righteousness, it should be for my name's sake, surely. Because I'm being led into righteousness, wasn't it for my benefit? But then, as always, I thought on it and realized that when we've been led into religious lives, the glory goes to God. The glory goes to God because worldly people will see the righteousness coming from a previously unrighteous person. Amen? And so, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. As we've received the righteousness from Jesus, he's looking for us to go out into the world and perform righteous acts so that he will be glorified, not we, so that he will be glorified. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I've heard many preachers preach on this sentence and verse before. And one of the explanations, we don't have to be afraid of the shadow of death. Why? Because to have a shadow, you have to have light. In total darkness, there's no shadow. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, There must be light. And why is the light? Because you are with me. Jesus is there, walking before us, leading the way, and his light will create that shadow. For you are with me. And that is the powerful part of this psalm. It's at this point in my preparation that I prayed, Lord, how can I show your body of Christ in Hillcrest Presbyterian Church that you are with us even in the valley with the shadow of death? It's got to be more than just words. How can it be shown to them? And that's when the Holy Spirit opened my eyes. Firstly, I received a phone call from a man who I hadn't spoken to in 30 years. He was a youth pastor in Kwanangezi, and it was so good speaking to him after 30 years. But being slow of mind, I didn't link this call with my prayer request to make my sermon in Psalm 23 real for you all here today. And so I continued searching my preparation, and I delved into 30 years of sermons under the index of Valley. I've got boxes and boxes and boxes of sermons. Until I came upon a very old sermon entitled, Son of Man, Can These Bones Live? And as I read the words, long since forgotten by me, I came to page 6, which read, Now, as then, God speaks to his people, and I can testify that I have met a man called Emmanuel Buthelezi. Over 30 years ago, I met Emmanuel Buthelezi, who was a man of God, a very young man at that stage, working in the valley of the shadow of death all around it. Emmanuel's valley was just outside Pinetown. It's called Kwanangezi. And during the 70s and 80s, it experienced some of the worst killings, tortures, and necklacing that any community should have to endure. The youth were forced, under threat of death, to support one side or the other. Satan's faces of fear and rape and violence were everywhere. But God was also there, and his hand was on this young man, this man of God, Emmanuel Buthelezi. And into that satanic cauldron, God called Emmanuel to work with the youth and create a youth club. And they came, and they came. And he simply taught them. One of the things that he did was to teach them how to play instruments, musical instruments, and to sing and praise God, guitar, drum, keyboard, and other things for youth. Son of man, can these bones live? O sovereign Lord, only you know. Now as then the Lord speaks, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. I will settle you in your own land. In the valley of shadow of death, how often are we living in fear in South Africa? Satan loves it. But if we live in faith, if we live by faith, we'll believe the words of God. I will settle you in your own land. That is the word of God. And 30 years have passed, and in an answer to my prayer, but how can I show you that even in this day and age, God will be with us, even in the valley of the shadow of death? He sent my brother in Christ, Emmanuel, who is still working with youth in Kwanangezi. Youth who are struggling with the dark shadow of unemployment. And Emmanuel is teaching streetwise teenagers how to grow their own vegetables in their own very humble backyards. And he took me on a tour a week or so ago back. I have seen the biggest cabbages you've ever seen in your life growing out of tires. I've seen strawberries like nothing like I've seen in Woolworths, even better. Strawberries growing out of tins and out of gutters. I've seen lettuce beetroot and all sorts of other stuff that was so healthy I thought, my goodness, I think my missus has been cheating me here. And that is this man. Now, between the 30 years and now, he's been all around the world with YWAM. YWAM took him, Nick Vitt took him, all over Europe, and he ministered to youth. He's been to America, and he's learned about this agricultural thing, how you can grow in humble places. What are you doing here, Elijah? And we've got things to do. This young man is still a little younger than me. And we're already talking about the youth and what can be done for these unemployed youngsters. And we're going to work on this because the Lord's got plans. And we've just got to listen and be ready. The second answer to my prayer came from Sissy. I can't see her. Is she here? Oh, there she is. That's Sissy from Yana, our ministry on a Wednesday. You are not alone. And Sissy, I shared with the group, I was searching for the Lord's word in Psalm 24. And Sissy sent me a Christian text about the 23rd Psalm entitled Hidden Treasures in the 23rd Psalm. And the first was highlighting the importance of verse 4, for thou art with me. Now, I'd got the message, this is the one. This is the crux of it all. But then Sissy backed it up to make it real. Because in this text, it pointed out that in Hebrew, Psalm 23 has 55 words in it. And there are exactly 26 Hebrew words before, for thou art with me, and exactly 26 words after it. So if you want to know which is the important verse, never mind, I mean, the power of it, there was just an underlining explanation. Coincidence or God incidence? Up to you to think. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. In ancient times, kings had vassal kings, and there was fighting between them. But a king would arise, and other kings would pay homage and be available to fight with him. And sometimes a previous enemy would decide to join the greater king. And for a while, of course, that was difficult because the new king's soldiers had been killing some of the vassal king's soldiers. And the king had to bring them together. And one of the ways that he did it was to have a feast and bring all of these junior kings together with a great feast, with the new king in a position of honor. And that's where it comes from. You prepare a table before mine enemies, and you pour into my cup, and my cup runneth over. And they used to, in certain cases, anoint that new king, showing all the others, he is now one of us. And today, we may say, but I don't have any enemies. It's almost like they were old-fashioned times. Well, we do. We do have enemies. What about the enemies within? What about envy, gossip, greed, selfishness, arrogance, lust, unforgiving spirits. We have enemies. We have enemies that will kill us for all eternity. Jesus has prepared his communion table before you, and he's invited all who have accepted him for their salvation to come and be seated with him and be anointed with his spiritual blood of forgiveness, so that our cup of salvation runneth over, and therein we will be blessed to be a blessing. Think on these things next week when you receive communion. Finally, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, Sissy's Christian text touched my life. To make Psalm 23 so real for me, because the text she explained in it was the words, surely follow me. And the text explained that the word follow was actually too weak, because the Hebrew word for follow that had been used was radaf, which really means pursue. Not just follow like a puppy, but pursue. And the text goes on to refer to the Christian poem entitled The Hound of Heaven, written by Francis Thompson. This one, The Hound of Heaven, written by Francis Thompson, given to me by the Reverend Ian Thompson, at a time when I was a new Christian and still had one foot in the world and the other one in Pinetown Presby Sunday School. And Ian could see where I was at, and he gave me this. And it's written in Old English, and still 10 years have gone by, and I've kind of translated in my mind about half of it. And every now and again, I go back into it. But listen just to the first verse, and it's the Hound of Heaven. I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinth ways of my own mind. And in the midst of tears, I hid from him. And under running laughter, I sped up vistaed hopes. And shot precipitated adown titanic glooms of chasmed fears. From those strong feet that followed after, but with unhurrying chase and with unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic insistency, they beat, and a voice beat more instant than the feet. All things betrayeth thee who betrayeth me. Amen. Again, I pray, make it real for me, Lord. How can Sissy give me something that was given to me by Reverend Ian Thompson that meant so much to me? Coincidence or God incidence?